Good morning, children of God. It is wonderful to be gathered again in our Father's house, and to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day. That's kind of an amazing thing. We get to be in the house of our Father celebrating the mothers. As we gather together here, we want to remember we are not alone out there in this crazy world, that we have a God who is with us always, a God who promises never to leave us in every circumstance. And today he's going to be with us in a real special way as we are gathered in his house. So let us begin our worship service together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, and the time that we get to be in your presence, Lord, a time where we get to receive from you, Lord, your word, and that we would be able to return praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for all that we have learned through that word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this day. Send your Holy Spirit to work in and through us so that we may be your people in this world. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us now confess our sins using the confession that's going to be printed on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we have been forgiven, let us give praise to the God who has so graciously forgiven us.
Is in you, Lord. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. We should cherish mothers every day, not just on one day a year, but we should cherish and love them every day. First scripture reading today is 1 Peter 3:13 through 22. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than to doing evil. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authority, and the powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
The sermon text for this morning is John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. It's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time. Who has the children's message today? Let's see. Laura's got it today? Good. I hope somebody does. That would be good. Who is it? Oh, it is me. Okay. That is hilarious. Schedules, they'll get you in trouble sometimes, won't they? All right. So how are you guys doing today? Good. Wonderful. Well, I got a question for you. Let's see here now. Have you ever been alone? Is it scary?
Yeah.
No. You like being alone?
Yeah.
Like, you like being alone? Yeah. I got an introvert up here. That's awesome. That's people who like being alone. It's kind of cool. I get that. Yeah. But have you been alone for like a long time? Like days?
No.
No. See, that would be a little bit different, wouldn't it? I mean, being alone for a little while, it's just like, give me some peace and quiet, right? But being alone for a really long time would actually not be very fun at all, right? Well, and today in the text we just got done reading for today, Jesus is with his disciples and they're getting ready. Jesus is getting his disciples ready for him to leave them. This is like in that the Thursday night, right before he gets arrested and right before he gets crucified. And can you imagine that, you know, Jesus knows this is coming and the disciples don't? And so Jesus is trying to prepare them and he tells them, listen, you're going to feel very alone in the future because I'm not going to be here anymore. But did Jesus leave them alone? No, Jesus told them. He goes, look, I am not going to leave you alone. I am not going to leave you orphans. I am going to continue to be with you. And you know what he promised to give them so that they wouldn't have to feel alone? Promised to send them the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? You know what the Holy Spirit is? Holy Spirit is God, and he's God that we receive when we get baptized. When we get baptized, the Holy Spirit moves into us and works through us and teaches us and helps us, gives us strength, tells us what to do, tells us how to do things, helps us to understand. He does a whole bunch of things. Helps us to basically live as God's people in the world. Do you think that's kind of an important thing? I mean, do we need help? I need help. Lots of help. Even keeping schedules, I need help. Right. So the thing is that God is basically here. He's basically saying, listen, I'm going to send this Holy Spirit. And we're looking forward to that day. It's not very far away. On the 28th, so a couple more weeks, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, which is the day that the Holy Spirit came to the disciples. And that, and you're going to see that the Holy Spirit made the disciples able to do a whole bunch of things and made them able to be really good workers in God's kingdom. So you think the Holy Spirit's in us too? Yeah. Who here is baptized? Yeah. So do we have the Holy Spirit too? Does the Holy Spirit help us? Yeah, he absolutely does. So let's thank God for that, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us, Lord, so that we will be strengthened by him, Lord, so that we can believe in you, so that we can be your people in this world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, it is time to gather at the cross, those of you who are heading to Little Worship. And you guys will go to the cross and you guys are going to get teaching for you. And the rest of us are going to be in here and we're going to open up God's word as well. Kids, if you're new here and wondering where the kids are going, they'll be back after the sermon. So don't worry. Yeah, exactly. We don't get to keep them forever. All right. So, I always was in a very tight family. We grew up. We moved a lot when I was a kid. My dad is a pastor. You guys know that, right? And one of the things that kind of did is about every 6 years or so, we would move from one place to the next. And it worked for us because we were a very tight family. And we were a very tight family because we were moving all the time. I don't know which came first, but they came together. It kind of worked as a package deal. My big brother is about a year and a half older than me, but he's shorter than I am. So I was the big brother and he was the big brother. And somehow that worked for us too. He was always the guy that I knew. I was always the guy that he knew. My little sisters were like three years and 4.5 years younger than us, so they were real close with us. We were just really close and really tight. And Mom was always there. You know how that is? I come home from school or I come home from work and I walk in the house and Mom was in the kitchen. I don't know what she did in the kitchen for so many hours, but she was in the kitchen doing whatever she does. And she was always there, and whatever was going on, we would talk the day out, and we would just, it was the most amazing thing. And then came the day for me to leave home. And I moved from New Rockford, North Dakota to Milwaukee, Wisconsin to go to college. Now, there was a little bit of another wrinkle here. I joined the Army right after high school. 3 days after high school graduation, I shipped out to the Army, and I spent the next, how many months is that? About 4.5 months going through initial training in the Army. And then I came home, but by then it was too late to go to first semester of college. Well, when you go to college, at the beginning of the first semester freshman year, there are a whole bunch of mixers, parties, things for the kids to get to know each other so that you don't have to feel so lonely all the time. Okay, I missed all that. I came second semester when everybody else already had all their friends. And there weren't any mixers, and there wasn't anything else going on. And I moved away from my entire family. I had never been lonely before. I mean, not in any kind of real sense. But that was a really tough transition. Now, you can imagine I talked to people pretty quickly and probably made friends, you know, rather quickly. But nevertheless, it was the first couple of weeks, it was really, really hard. Being alone like that is really hard. Jesus' disciples were getting ready to be alone. And their kind of alone wasn't the same as mine. It wasn't that they were leaving all of their friends, because the disciples were still going to be together. The 12 were still going to be there. You know, the hangers-on, the other disciples that had been following Jesus all those years, they were going to be there. But there was a really key person that was all of a sudden going to be missing. And that kind of was a big deal, because the thing is that 3 years earlier, the disciples would never have known what they were missing. You know what I mean? They were just ignorant to all the things that were not right around them, and they were ignorant to the way that God was going to save the world, and they were ignorant to all the lessons that God had taught them. And so they wouldn't have known, and they wouldn't have cared, but Jesus came, and he opened their eyes, and he taught them about what it really means to follow him, and he taught them about, you know, speaking this good news, and he taught them about the way that God was going to love the world in such a profound way. And he made them want to be part of changing things. And then he vanished. And you can imagine that as Jesus is talking to his disciples, and this is on Thursday night, right before he was betrayed, right before he was arrested. And Jesus knows this is coming. And Jesus is preparing these disciples that he loved for him going away. And he tells them, I will not leave you orphans. You can imagine, I mean, talking about orphans on Mother's Day, you know? I mean, the entire idea of how essential is it that a child has a mom, that a child has a parent, and how ungrounded is someone who doesn't have their mom. And that is exactly how the disciples were going to be. They were going to be disconnected from their leader, disconnected from the one. And Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will send one who is going to be with you, one who is an advocate for you. The Spirit of Truth. And God, he tells the disciples, listen, you know, I'm going away. Pretty soon the world isn't going to see me anymore, right? But you will see me. How'd that work? I mean, the disciples, I'm fairly certain they didn't see him. I mean, he wasn't visibly present there in front of them anymore. You know, this rabbi that they had followed and who'd been instructing them and correcting them when they had their silly answers, you know, the things that the disciples said occasionally, and he would say, oh, how weak is your faith? And then he would teach them again, right? This Jesus, he's going to be gone. And what would it be like if we actually were alone in this world? You know, I mean, what would it be like? Say that God gave us everything he did in the Bible, and he gave us his expectations, and he gave us the Great Commission, and then he just said, go and do it. Make it happen. Have a good time, folks. How terrifying would that be? I mean, if we were literally in the world alone, if we had nobody backing us up, if we had nobody seeing to it that everything was going to work out, if we had nobody helping us to understand God's word, if we had nobody helping us to speak the truth of God, if it all relied on us and nothing, nobody out there was helping us, do you know how successful we would be? I mean, it'd be pretty much disaster. Our strength isn't very good. We're not very strong. We're not that smart. We have a hard time playing two-dimensional chess. Say nothing of like the four or five-dimensional chess that God is playing in the world, right? I mean, how many times has it been that you have seen the hand of God when you look back on your life? And you see how God was weaving this tapestry and all these things together, and we're amazed at how he does it, and we're amazed at how this piece and this piece were connected, and who could have possibly seen that in the moment? I mean, we are amazed at how God makes things work, and that is not something that's not something we can live without. We absolutely, essentially need God's intervention in our lives and in our ministries, or we are not going to be effective in his kingdom, because we can't do all that. We can't control all that. We can't even think of all that. And so God tells the disciples, you're about to feel really lonely. You know, can you imagine how the disciples were feeling when Jesus was on the cross? And while they were hiding in the upper room, afraid of the Jewish leaders, can you imagine how alone they felt? And even after Jesus showed himself and, you know, then ascended into heaven, it's like, oh, he's back, and now he's gone. Now what? And even then, the disciples were obviously struggling. I mean, when they met Jesus at the time when he was about to ascend into heaven, it says they believed and some doubted. And even then, they were struggling. They didn't know exactly all how everything was supposed to work out. They didn't have all the pieces put together. So God promised to send them the Spirit of Truth, the one who would put the pieces together. And he did. I mean, Peter, who just a few hours, you know, an hour earlier would have been like probably saying some crazy Peter stuff, right? All of a sudden stands up and makes this incredible sermon. connecting everything in the Old Testament, everything in the New Testament, this incredible plan of God, this incredible gospel presentation, so powerful that thousands of people believed that day. That's not a testament to Peter. That's a testament to the Spirit that lived in Peter. That the Spirit makes us able. He works in us and through us. Guys, listen, this is the craziest thing. This text, it tells us something that's mind-blowing. It says that we are not alone, because on the day that the Spirit comes, that we will understand that the Father is in Jesus. That much, do we get that? That makes sense. That Jesus is in us and that we are in him. This is more intimate than if Jesus was standing in front of you. You understand this? This is a profound presence of Jesus. That in the moment when we feel the most alone, the most like the world is against us and we are standing there all by ourselves, to understand that God is not just with you, he's in you. And you are in him. And what that means is that our ministry, our tasks, our purpose in life, our identity, our glory, our the source of all of our understanding, all comes from him. And that we as his people, we realize that our lives belong to him. And that whatever he says is good. That in the Western church, I think a lot of times we don't quite grasp the gravity of that, though. That because of what Christ has done for us, because he rescued us from sin, because he brought us into his family, because he's forgiven our sins, because he made us his children, our lives belong to him. And sometimes that can be painful. You know, that when we live our lives for him, when we speak his truth into the world, well, answer me this. How'd the world respond to Jesus when he spoke truth? I mean, they kind of killed him for it. You know, I mean, so how's it going to treat us when we speak truth? The answer is we don't know. But at sometimes, it might go hard. The question is, do we stop speaking that truth? And here's the thing, is that we got the Spirit who lives in us. We got this Jesus who died for us. We got God who is living for us in heaven, preparing a place for us. We have him giving us a task to do, is that you take my truth into this world. You take my gospel and you spread it through all of the world, and you do it with courage, and you do it in season and out of season. It doesn't matter what the situation is in the place where you are. You speak my truth. And is that going to be tough? Well, yeah. It will be. There's a pastor in 1985. I got to open this up, sorry. Mehdi Dibaj is a pastor in Iran. He was one of those pastors who dared to translate the books of the Bible and other writings into the language of Iraq. And because of this, and because his works were getting spread around, he was arrested. He was arrested because, of course, as a Christian, he was no longer, you know, a Muslim, and so he was arrested, and the penalty for leaving the Muslim faith is, of course, death. While he was standing trial later in 1994, I mean, he was, and you talk about being alone, he was in prison for 9 years. 2 of the years, he was kept in a hole so small that he couldn't straighten his legs. So was it pleasant times? No. But when he was standing in front of the trial, standing in front of the judge and on trial, this was his defense. This was his testimony. He said, to be a Christian means to belong to Christ. Jesus asked me to renounce even my life to follow him faithfully, not to fear the world, even if my body must perish. I prefer to know that God the Almighty is with me, even if it means that the whole world is against me. I am in God's hands. For 45 years, I have walked with the God of miracles, and his goodness is for me a shadow that protects me in his love. The God of Daniel, who protected his friends, protected me during my 9 years in prison, and all torments changed to my good, so that I have the fullness of love and gratitude. Of all the prophets, Jesus alone was resurrected from the dead, and he remains our living mediator forever. I gave my life into his hands. For me, life is an opportunity to serve him, and death is the privilege of getting to be with him. The Spirit is always with us. Jesus promised his disciples, I will be with you always. Doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy all the time. What it does mean is we are never alone. We always have the God of the universe walking with us, giving us strength to lean on, to lift us up, to carry us if necessary, so that we can be his people in this world and speak truth no matter what. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this message of salvation that you have given us, this gospel, is so incredibly powerful, life-changing. To call it life-changing feels like it's just not enough. It's just like there's so much that's involved in it, Lord. It is the greatest thing that you have ever done. And this is a God who gives many great things. Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully live out the salvation that you have worked in us. Help us, Lord, to live this faith, to speak your truth, relying on your presence, your power, your wisdom, your strength. In your name we pray. Amen.
Upon Jesus.
Please stand. Let us now confess what our God has taught us about himself. The first article of the creed is, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So what does this mean? Let's read together. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you first of all today for the moms among us. Lord, I thank you that you have provided us with these amazing people, Lord, that have taken up the responsibility of raising children, Lord, passing the faith on and giving the next generation, Lord, what it takes to live in this world, but not just to live in this world, but to live in this world under you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give them strength and bless them in your name. Lord, I also pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we continue to work in your kingdom. Lord, we pray especially for those who are sick and ill today, Lord. We pray for Lauren's family, Lord, at the death of her father. I pray that you would give her sister, the whole family, Lord, strength and comfort, Lord, as they walk through this time of grief. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us each individually, Lord, as we carry out your job, Lord, your work of witnessing in this world, bearing witness to what it is that you have done, the work of Christ, and what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. And I pray that you would give us strength as we move forward. Give us courage as we move forward. Give us opportunities and lead us, Lord, by the work of your Spirit to see those opportunities in the moment. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless the ministry of St. Mark's, Lord, especially as we are currently calling teachers and a pastor, Lord, as we go through the processes. I pray that you would bless those who are leading and making decisions. And Lord, let us be able to find the people that you are calling us to find. All these things we pray in your name, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
The sorrow and the pain.
Now, my friends, having received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that promises we'll never be alone, he was just with us in a very, very real, very amazing way. And as he comes, he brings us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Having received this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. He is a Savior.
Stood in my place.
have a seat, please? A few announcements this morning. First of all, happy Mother's Day again. Can't forget that. Did everybody get a flower? Well, we'll get your flower on the way out the door. Okay, very good. Somebody's going to be on that. All right. And the other thing is this, is we're putting together a St. Mark's cookbook. And I know y'all know how to cook. I've been to your hot potlucks and stuff. So we need to get all these recipes put together. It's the bottom of the second page of announcements in your bulletin is the information that you need. Send it to Donna, and she will compile the book. Let's see here. Diaper kickoff. We're between Mother's Day and Father's Day. The our Lutherans for Life chapter collects diapers and other kids' stuff too, right? But mostly diapers. I think we'll take anything, but diapers especially. There's a like a pack and play out in the lobby where you can drop them off. And good news and bad news about VBS. Bad news is it's totally full. Good news is it's going great. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing VBS. Oh, we got over 300 kids registered already, and it's just astounding every year how that works out. And so thank God for blessing us with Lauren, who really is a big thing there. Yeah, So, and of course, keep her and her family in your prayers while they're grieving the loss of her father here. And with that, that's everything I got to tell you. So I could keep you here longer if you want. But otherwise, you guys have a wonderful day. Mothers, everybody, pamper your mom today. All right? Or your wife, if she's a mom, right? Okay, very good. God's blessings. I'll see you guys in the back.